Welcome to Fried. I'm your host, Kate Donovan. I work with leaders so they can see the patterns that are quietly hurting performance and burning out their best people. In my world, burnout is blameless, burnout is information, and burnout is a signal that we can use to improve workplaces. Seasons 1 through 10 focus on individual burnout. Seasons 11 and beyond focus on leadership, culture, and the workplace. This podcast will help you understand what burnout is pointing to and how to start fixing what's actually causing it. If this is a conversation you feel your organization should be having, that's the work I bring into teams through keynotes, workshops, and advisory. You can find all my info at katedonovan.com. That's CAITDONOVAN.com.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast.
Okay, Fried fam. Today I'm going to tell you a little story that you are going to wonder why the heck I'm telling you this story, but I swear it has a point, so stick with me, please. In the 1840s, that's 1840, in the 1840s, a Hungarian physician named Ignaz Semmelweis figured out why new mothers who had just given birth were dying in hospitals at terrifying rates, up to 18% in some wards. What he figured out, what he noticed was so simple, so obvious for us today. I mean, it's really obvious that it really breaks your heart for what people were going through at that point. Doctors were going straight from performing autopsies on cadavers to delivering babies. There was no hand washing, no nothing, just the morgue and then the maternity ward. And they were not doing anything in between. They weren't washing their hands. So there was an idea, Semmelweis had this idea that the pregnant and birthing women were being infected by what he was calling at the time cadaver particles. They didn't have germ theory at that point. So he mandated that staff scrub their hands with a chlorinated lime solution before deliveries, and the mortality rate at birth dropped from 18% to under 2%. 18% of mothers dying just after giving birth to under 2%. That's not a rounding error. That is like revolutionary. And here's the part that will make you nuts if you let it. The medical community completely rejected him, mocked him, ostracized him. He ended up having a mental breakdown. He was committed to an asylum, and then he had a sepsis attack. So he died of a bacterial infection, the very same one that he had been asking people to prevent for the majority of his career. He was only 47 years old when he died of sepsis at the asylum. He was correct about this. People did need to be washing their hands, but doctors were feeling so self-righteous, and they were saying, how could you possibly think that my hands, the hands of this doctor, that they are dirty? I am a doctor. I'm doing all the things correctly. He had the data. He had results. And it didn't even matter because egos were in the way and because people weren't ready to believe that something that simple could make that much of a difference, despite all the evidence to the contrary. So here's why I'm telling you this story. I think we're in a Semmelweis moment with burnout and stress in the workplace. We have a massive crisis happening in organizations around the world. Disengagement is at record highs. Burnout is costing U.S. businesses somewhere between $125 and $190 billion a year in healthcare spending alone. And that's not counting turnover, productivity loss, or the quiet quitting that no one's really tracking. We are running around trying to fix burnout with ping pong tables and wellness stipends and resilience training for individual contributors, while we have leaders and individual contributors who are already suffering from burnout, who are contagious to the people around them. Burnout and stress spread on a biological level throughout your teams, and these people are completely untreated and unsupported. stress being contagious is not a metaphor. I am not saying stress is like cadaver particles. No, no, no. This is actual neuroscience. When you are chronically stressed, your nervous system affects the nervous system of the people in your proximity. You are, without knowing it, transmitting your stress state to your team every single day. You're going from the morgue to the delivery room, and nobody's told you to wash your hands. You're not showing up like this because you don't care. But you might be showing up like this because you don't yet fully believe, really believe, down to your bones, that the simple act of taking care of yourself will change outcomes not just for you, but for the people around you. The thing is, we have the data. We have the results. We know that this is true, and we are still not doing it. So if you are a person who is burnt out in the workplace in 2026, and you are looking for the simple hand washing techniques that you could implement in order to reduce your own burnout and the burnout of the people around you, here are the things that function as the equivalent of Semmelweis's chlorinated lime scrub for your burnout. Are you ready? I've got three. Number one, if you're burnt out, get support. I understand that you are busy. I understand that support can be expensive in both time, money, and energy. But burnout doesn't stay in your body. It leaks. It leaks into your decisions, your communication, your patience, your willingness to trust your team, your ability to actually hear what people are telling you. It leaks into your relationship. It leaks into your family. You are a walking transmission vector for your own chronic stress. And every single person who reports to you or is around you is on the receiving end of it every single day. A coach or a therapist or some sort of support gets you to the other side faster, full stop. This is infection control. Get the support that you need. I am available to help you. I have a list of other burnout coaches on my website that are available to help you. You can go use employee resources. There might be some therapy or some counseling available to you that you can use to get started. Find out what resources you can use. Start using them immediately. Wash your hands. Thing number two, that is the washing hands equivalent, is you need to build up your own emotional intelligence. So when anyone in a business, whether you are a leader or an individual contributor, when you have a higher level of emotional intelligence, there is a higher level of psychological safety and trust. And psychological safety and trust are burnout buffers. This is well documented in the research. When people feel safe, when they can raise a concern, make a mistake, and say, I'm overwhelmed without it being career suicide, their nervous systems are calmer. Calmer nervous systems are more resilient. More resilient nervous systems are less likely to burn out. And psychological safety starts with every single one of us, with how regulated every single one of us is and how we show up in our day-to-day lives, with how we respond when things go wrong. Which brings me to number three. Number three is learn to pause before you respond. This sounds too insignificant to make a difference. But the moment you get the email that makes your blood pressure spike, pause before you answer. The moment someone on your team makes a mistake in front of a client, pause before you respond. The moment the quarterly numbers come in and they're not what you needed, stop, take a breath, allow the feeling of heat of stress rising in your chest or making you feel hot or bringing up some panic. Give that a moment to be before you respond. Not for the sake of suppressing your feelings, but for the sake of choosing your response and having, instead of having your nervous system choose it for you. That pause is the difference between people who create psychological safety automatically and people who erode it automatically without even intending to, with the best of intentions. This pause can sound like almost nothing, but this pause can change almost everything. So the three things, again, are A, get some support. B, learn some emotional granularity, some emotional intelligence. There's lots of different ways to do this. I'm happy to come into your company and do a session. It's one of my favorite things to do. You can read books on this. Just figure out a way to build your emotional intelligence, your emotional granularity. That is critical. And the last thing is pause before you respond. Here's what I want you to sit with during this session, whether you are a leader or you're an individual contributor. Simon Weiss was right back then. He knew that hand washing was the solution, but he couldn't get anyone to believe that something that simple could actually work, nor could he get anyone to believe that it could be their actual hands that were creating the problem. That hand washing, this average, ordinary act, was the thing that dropped the death rate from 18% to under 2%. And what I'm telling you today, that when you take care of yourself as a person, as you build your emotional intelligence, when you learn to pause, these are your hand washing moments. They might feel too small for the size of the problem. I get that. I have heard it a million times. But the size of an intervention and the difficulty of an intervention is not what determines its impact. The question is whether you as an individual person are willing to believe that this is true while we already have the evidence to support it. Simon Weiss didn't have anyone to come into those hospitals and make it stick for him. He didn't have a consultant coming in to tell people to follow his rules. He was working alone and it cost him everything. You don't actually have to do this alone, which is conveniently where I come in. I do keynotes, workshops, and trainings exactly on this. I walk into organizations, your organization, and I spend time helping your leadership team, your individual contributors understand what's actually driving burnout, what the research says, and what the moves are that will actually make a dent. We make it concrete, we make it actionable, and we make sure that when I leave, you know what to do next Monday morning. I do this partly because I genuinely care about people at large. And partly because if I don't, I'm pretty sure I'll end up in asylum like Simon Weiss, just quietly being in the right on the internet until I die. Do not let me be Simon Weiss. If you want to bring this work into your organization, you can go to katedonovan.com. The information on how to book me for a keynote is right there. And if you are a leader who is currently burned out and you don't yet have the authority to bring someone in, that's okay. Start with the pause, just the pause, and see what changes. All right, Fried Fam, that's it for today. I hope that this hit home. If it did, please share it with a leader that you care about or someone who is feeling burnout that you care about. Forward it to your HR team, post it, clip it, whatever you do with podcasts. The hand washing problem gets solved when more people know it exists. See you next time.